Now streaming, the Netflix and Swill podcast.
In the saddle again.
You're here.
That's nothing. Hi, welcome to Netflix and Swill. It's a show about Netflix and Swill, and I'm Caleb.
And I have a tremendous head cold. And I only get sick once a year. And it's the worst when I get sick once a year. Because I feel miserable all day.
Yeah, I already had mine a couple weeks ago, so... Hopefully we're good from now on.
Hooray. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I'm just sick. Yeah. I guess maybe because I went to the movie theater yesterday, but also illness doesn't gestate for that short of amount of time. So like, there's no way it's that. So I don't know. I'm just sick. I don't know why.
Have you been in contact with any children? Because that's what usually does it to me, because children are disgusting.
So I take Ashley to go to the movie theater. We go see Spider-Verse. The movie's good. Like, it's good. It's not the masterpiece that everyone says it is, but it's good. In front of us is I think, a family of five. It's his dad, mom, and three kids. Now, none of the kids ever faced my way, and it's possible any of them were sick, so I don't know for sure. But here is why I fucking hate the movie theater. It's because the dad would just wander and go get snacks for everybody, and instead of passing them down like a normal human being would, he would stand up, walk all the way over, individually pass out the snacks to everybody, and then talk to the mom while standing in the middle of the fucking screen. And it's like, bro, do you understand where you are right now? Like, do you understand that I've also paid money to be here? Like, what are you doing?
Man, I don't know. On one hand, that's a guy who just spent like probably $100 to $200 to get his kids to shut up for like a minute. But also, like, don't bring your children to the movies. We don't want them there.
No, we don't want them there.
If, I don't know, this applies to everything, really, but like, if there were 18 and up movie theaters accessible to me, I would exclusively go to them.
I think it's worth it. Like, for smaller theater size, no kids, you know, and also like the Alamo Draft House, which is probably like 45 minutes from my house. So I don't, like, you can call that accessible. I don't call that accessible, but like, that's like the perfect kind of experience for me. Cause it's like, there's no kids. You talk, they warn you once, and then you do it again and you're gone. Yeah. So like, you know, it's perfect where people are actually held to a standard that, you know, shut the fuck up. We're all here to enjoy this thing. Don't ruin it.
Yeah. And it's not that hard to do. Like, fucking, like, back in the 40s or whatever the fuck, like, if you went to a movie theater and you didn't wear a fucking jacket and tie, they wouldn't let you in. Like, it's not that hard to just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's really not. Fortunately, for the most part, everyone was very quiet until the end of the movie. The end of the movie happens, and then some kid's just like, but what about this thing? And everyone in the theater, except for me, because I don't find children funny, laugh.
I don't know. I maintain that my most positive child-adjacent movie theater experience was during Sonic the Hedgehog. Whenever James Marsden shoots Sonic with a tranquilizer dart, and Sonic blacks out, and then he's like sitting on the kitchen table, and some kid in the front row is like, he didn't mean to kill him.
Sometimes kids are funny, but for the most part, kids, your child is not endearing in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. Just have them shut the fuck up.
Kids say the stupidest things.
So how are you? You've been gone for so long. I was worried you were going to be like your dad and never come back from getting milk.
Yeah. took me a while to find those cigarettes.
They just didn't have my brand.
I went out California way and found some internet out there. It's been a mess. I'm sorry I haven't been around, but slowly scraping a life back together for my wife and I. We're moving into our new place this weekend coming up. So that'll be good. I'll have to get some internet out there.
Out California way.
I don't know. I just had the brakes in my truck fixed, and now like there's like a scraping sound in the front driver's side tire, and it might be a wheel bearing. I'm pretty sure that it's just like the new rotor and brake pad like mating to each other and like grinding down the first little layer of it. Sure. But I'm paranoid about anything car related.
Yeah.
So in my mind, like my engine's about to explode in a conflagration that's going to take the life of myself and my spouse.
At least you'll be free from the mortal coil. And also not having to pay an additional $8 a month to Netflix to be able to watch it.
Yeah, no shit. Other than that, you know, work's good.
Good.
Life's good. Just kind of getting everything lined up.
Yeah, I see you currently back in your old place.
Yeah, I'm at my sister-in-law's apartment right now due to quieter environs and better internet, because she lives out California way.
We're just going to say California way a million times this episode. We talked about it, like your internet was just the worst, and I had just watched, like, I don't say just watched, but like a couple weeks ago, I had just watched that episode of South Park where, you know, oh, this is a ghost.
Yeah. I fixed it by unplugging it and plugging it back in. Yeah, I don't know. It's really noisy over at the main house, our in-laws' house, where I've been staying to work and stuff. Because my nephew has, like, a host of pubescent teen boys here, and they're all screaming and running around and, I don't know, doing Rick and Morty impressions.
Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty, Rick and Morty, Rick, 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 Rick. Oh, Caleb. Oh, the internet's out. You gotta go plug it back in.
Oh, geez, Rick. Oh, yeah, the internet's down, Rick. Oh,
I got this device, Morty. It gets us internet from other dimensions, Morty. We're gonna watch six-dimensional porn with women with eight boobs.
Oh, jeez, it's a lot of boobs, Rick. How many butts do they have?
I would love eight boob porn. It'd be great.
I'm sorry the last minute of this has been unlistenable.
That's fine. It's not like it's a live stream for the Cure segment.
Yeah, we're catching up on being idiots.
It's true.
Speaking of, let's go on to What's Your Swill?
Can we please get some alcohol into my mouth?
He hates these cans! Stay away from the cans!
I don't have a vitamin C cocktail because I don't think those exist. So I'm just drinking water.
Shameful to spray.
Actually, that's not true. I could just drink, like, fruit juice.
Yeah.
It's like Always Sunny. It's, what's this? Orange juice. Oh, you mean like screwdriver mixer? No. This is like people actually drink this like for breakfast. It's like who? They just drink mixer? What?
Jesus. I'm having an icy light in a Pittsburgh Pirates themed can.
Oh my God.
I'm Pennsylvania boy now.
I will say every time I go to Pittsburgh now, because I was just in Pittsburgh for the Blink-182 concert, which was a good concert, although the opening and second act were fucking terrible. Just atrocious.
Who opened?
Some band I've never heard of.
It's no-namers.
And then the second band was this hardcore band, which is the weirdest. Like, what's the crossover between a hardcore band and Blink-182? Feels like there's none. But it's this hardcore band called Turnstile, and they had the most generic sounding music I've ever heard. And I was there to listen to Blink-182.
I don't know. I never was like a dedicated fan of this band, but like one of the most consistent opening acts that I've ever seen was a band called Shiny Toy Guns, which like I've seen them open for like four or five different concerts I went to, and they're always solid.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still around, but.
Oh, but the point of the story was I got beer. And of course, because I'm in Pittsburgh and never in Pittsburgh anymore, I got an IC Light.
There you go.
It was terrible. It's always terrible, but I just get it because.
Good old Iron City. You just got to do it for the vine.
Nailed it.
Yeah. You got to do it for the gram.
Got to do it for the TikTok. Speaking of which, my bald brethren, Gerald, is going viral. Well, viral on TikTok for reviewing the new Burt Kreischer movie, which he says is terrible. And all the Burt Kreischer fans are coming out being like, fuck you, little bitch man. And I thought by now my constant harassment of Gerald would have gotten him ready for the internet. But it didn't.
Aw. You can just not read the comments.
And that's something else he was doing, was he was liking every comment, even if they were fucking negative towards him. And it's just like, Gerald, don't give these people validation that you're reading anything they say.
Yeah, I too have been not involved in internet drama, but definitely laughing at it slash shaking my head. So it's Pride Month. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride.
So as you're aware, I'm a big fan of BattleTech, which is like big stompy robots shooting each other in the future. So like for Pride Month, like there's a fanzine that like the company that publishes BattleTech like endorsed it. They didn't make it. They did endorse it and like start spreading the word about it. But it's just like queer stories about mech pilots in the future.
Oh no. How gay. So like
this got posted on r/BattleTech, and then the mods there started taking down every post that referred to it, saying that it was political, which is what far right people say when something that they don't like exists.
Yep.
So in response, everybody on r/BattleTech started painting pride flag painted mechs and like different shit. Like there's a mech that was like painted to look like the trans flag and shit, and it was glorious. And like it kind of culminated in like a bunch of BattleTech authors who have like written for BattleTech for like decades coming out onto the Reddit and being like, hey, you know, if you don't like this, then BattleTech's not for you, you know, BattleTech's for everybody. Like gay people exist in the future. And then like it kind of culminated with so like the guy who originally created r/BattleTech had like stepped away from it. It culminated with him coming back and making a post saying, I've liquidated the entire mod team and I'm taking control back of this. And like Catalyst Game Labs, the company that publishes BattleTech, made a post saying like, BattleTech's for everybody. If you don't like it, go play Warhammer or whatever the fuck. And also, like, to avoid this ever happening again, we're making r/official BattleTech, which will be moderated and controlled by Catalyst Game Labs. And, like, the first, like, rule is, like, you know, don't be an asshole, don't be a bigot, whatever the fuck, you know, shit that you would expect, but. So now I have two BattleTech subreddits to shitpost in.
Okay. They're allowed to make their own subreddit. But, well, like, if that was the only subreddit, that would be a problem. Because, like, I don't think that company-run Reddits is a good thing. Because Reddit is a very good way for hardcore fans to voice dissenting opinions based on corporate decisions or company decisions.
I don't know. In my experience, at least, Catalyst seems pretty okay with dissenting voices. But like, I don't know. They announced that, and then the original mod came and said, "Hey, I've asked all of the mods here to step down, and like we're starting over." So like, I don't know. It was kind of a tandem thing, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I have more places to shitpost about cat girls, which canonically exist in Battletech, so.
Fucking Reddit mods, man. Casual Reddit mod.
Bunch of incels.
All right, well, speaking of incel behavior, let's move into the news.
Oh, shit, it's mail time.
All right, well, the incels at Netflix have begun cracking down on password sharing. They're cuckolding my entire family. Dan, I googled cuckolding and I owe you an apology.
Oh, man, tremendous reference. Just fantastic. I'm so proud of you. Oh, fuck. Yeah, emails went out in the U.S. in particular, because that's the area we care most about, because that's where we live, and it's also where a third of Netflix's customer base is located, you know, an entire fucking country. We got the email, and it was like, all right, add your extra member. Okay, here's an additional $8 to add Caleb as a member. And then every day for the next week, because you didn't have internet, Netflix was like, hey, you still haven't added your additional member. And it's just
oh,
like,
shit.
Yes, I did. I sent him the email. Leave me alone. Like,
I didn't.
And
sign
they're trying
into
to be
Netflix
like, hey, you're paying for this, but you're not getting any benefit out of it, I guess, was the way they were trying to frame it. But it was just like, can you just shut the fuck up and leave me alone? And stop telling me this, because I don't care. But I see that you only pulled your profile onto the additional household. Were you able to? Did you try to pull Vanessa's profile onto the additional profile?
No, it only prompted me for mine.
Lame.
But I think that under mine, I can go in and create additional profiles.
Yeah, you should be able to, but. It's weird that you can't just also pull Vanessa's profile and throw that there too. And that way it keeps all of her recommendations and shit, you know, algorithm stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, well.
Let's see. Let me look at it right now. Manage profiles.
Uh-huh.
And it just lists mine.
I wonder if there's something I can do on my end. Uno, memento, oh my God. Or favor.
So, I just... I was on Netflix looking at seeing if I could add a profile under that, but I saw the banner ad for FUBAR, and it shows Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, his daughter in the show. Holding guns, wearing shooting glasses, wearing tactical vests. And then in the background, leaning out from behind some boxes, is the puppet of Arnold Schwarzenegger also holding a gun in what is a very poorly photoshopped affair. And I have to find my print screen key. And I've done it. Because I have to be able to look at that forever.
Puppet Arnold was my favorite part of FUBAR, which we'll talk about later. I looked. It looks like I can do something. It's just I have to send her. Like, I have to. Apparently, you can only transfer per profile, so she has to get a different account with that profile. So she just needs to make a new profile.
Stupid.
Yeah, you should be able to transfer multiple because, you know, that makes sense. So good job, Netflix.
All right. Next story is. Too Dumb Brazil will be live this year on June 17th, highlighting some of Netflix's upcoming content slate. Curiously, though, the event will only be live streamed on YouTube and not in the Netflix app. I wonder why. I wonder if they've had problems with that in the past.
That's part of it. But they, like, the co-CEO, Greg Peters, said they fixed those issues. So I don't know why you wouldn't just throw what is likely going to be a low stakes event back on the platform and see what happens. Hmm. Like, you can keep the YouTube stuff because that pulls in people who are potentially not on Netflix and, you know, be like, oh, cool, a One Piece adaptation that will surely not be terrible. Let's watch that. Let's subscribe to Netflix for the One Piece adaptation. And then you also, on the Netflix app, have people who are, you know, I need my next show. What next cool thing can I get from Netflix? Oh, this fucking One Piece adaptation that surely won't be terrible in any way, shape, or form. I wonder if I should watch that in August when it comes out. So, yeah, I mean, if Netflix doesn't live stream anything anymore, I'm going to laugh very heartily, because who would have ever guessed that, what the fuck is it called, Love is Blind would kill Netflix's live streaming initiative single-handedly.
Jesus.
All right. Our next actual news story is that Netflix shareholders have rejected the company's executive compensation package for 2023. The vote is non-binding, so that means it may ultimately be more symbolic than anything. Of course, the WGA is taking a victory lap after sending out a letter urging shareholders to reject the compensation package, though most votes were submitted before the letter was ever shared.
Business.
Pretty much. I think it's interesting that an executive compensation package is tied to a shareholder vote that means nothing. Like, why even have it at that point if the shareholders don't matter? You're just wasting everybody's time.
What's the Writers Guild have to do with this?
The Writers Guild put out a letter before the results were announced, okay. We're like being like, hey, reject these, because if they have money to give to themselves, like, they can clearly just give it to us. So the Writers Guild is like, oh, the package got shot down, so therefore we were responsible for it. And they weren't, because the vote came out, or like the votes were cast before the letter was even written.
Now I get it. That's pretty great.
Yep.
It's funny.
It's funny joke. Funny story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I look forward to the executive suite for Netflix making over $100 million this year in compensation. And for their sacrifice of having $100 million in salary and benefits and stock options and such. Prepare for all of your favorite shows to be canceled.
Well, it's good news for Verizon customers. There is a bundle deal for Netflix Premium and Paramount Plus with Showtime for $25.99 available to you.
I'm glad I'm not a Verizon customer, because then I would, now I don't have the option to pay for this, because there's never a world where I'm going to ever consider an option to pay for Paramount Plus with Showtime.
Yeah. I went to go visit Alan Kuhn because he had like a game night at his house, and I saw like Brentley and Craig and a bunch of other people there. I might be misremembering it, and it might have been an entirely different person during an entirely different event, but I think it was Brentley was telling me that he was playing Horizon Zero Dawn, but he said Verizon Zero Dawn, and it was really funny.
That sounds like Brentley.
Like I said, it very well may not have been, but I was talking to somebody and they said Verizon Zero Dawn, and I also talked to Brentley.
That sounds like Brentley. What did he call Prismari Campus at one point when we were playing Magic the Gathering?
Prism Krampus.
Oh my god. We love you, Brentley. Please slow down and speak the words.
Why bother? Who's got the time?
It's true. So yeah, if you're a Verizon customer and you want both Netflix and Paramount Plus with Showtime, which is an actual tier name, that's a deal that you have available to you. Also, the other thing with this is that people are saying, like, oh, it's the return of Cable. It's Cable again. Cable, Cable, Cable. And this is like, have you ever heard of telecom bundles before?
Have you ever heard of the thing that I said like 8 years ago when we started this show? And like streaming services were just beginning to diversify. I tried to say services, but I think where I landed was somewhere between services and surfaces.
Yeah. What did you say? I legitimately do not remember at this point.
Whenever I was like, hey, we're going to just have cable again because people are going to start bundling streaming services.
I think streaming services are going to go under before we get the bundles, because some of them are in dire straits. Like, apparently Paramount Plus, who is being bundled with Netflix in this case, has been told by multiple Wall Street analysts to just shutter the streaming services and to go to licensing.
Yeah.
So expect that. I expect more streaming services to shutter and the licensing wars begin. And that's way more interesting than the current state of streaming that we have.
Expect the unexpected.
All right. That'll move us into downstream. We're going to talk about trailers for things that we probably don't care about.
Baby, I can't control the internet.
That's my favorite line!
All right. Well, the first trailer that we don't care about is season 6 of Black Mirror. We're back in black with a hint of red. Okay. The 6th season of Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror returns with 5 groundbreaking new stories. The most unpredictable, unclassifiable, and unexpected season yet, only on Netflix. Twisted tales that span eras and terrors deliver a myriad of surprises in this game-changing anthology series' most unpredictable season yet. Okay, this is a nitpick. This is something that I personally don't like, and I'm going to talk about it. But whenever you say a myriad of something,
I knew it. I knew you were going to say this.
Because it's just, it delivers myriad surprises. That's it. There is no such thing as a myriad of anything. It's just myriad things. It means, you know, a large number.
Like I said, I knew you were going to say that.
Stop fucking saying a myriad, because you sound like an idiot.
No, I'm going to say a myriad. Save me, Amiria.
I'm on my myriad. It's a man period.
So yeah, Black Mirror. I've said this many, 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 many times, but the Netflix version of this show is so uninteresting to me that I really don't look forward to any of these. I always watch them in hopes that there's something good that comes out of it, but for the most part I always just leave completely disappointed, because like, this show just isn't as good as everybody says it is.
That's true, and that's all I have to say about it.
That's it, and that's all.
I don't know, I guess they have like a really metatextual episode about how spooky streaming on Netflix is for reasons.
Cause, oh man, fucking, we have to get metacontextual about everything now. Like, everything has to be metacontextual or no one pays attention.
Yeah. Zoomers can't even nut if it's not like ironic and self-referential. All right, our next trailer is for Make Me Believe. A pair of meddling grannies dupe their grown-up grandchildren into a meet cute that rekindles a childhood crush and past quibbles. Hashtag Make Me Believe arrives June 23rd, only on Netflix. It's like a Hallmark movie, but it's, I don't know, what language is this? It doesn't say.
I want to say Spanish, European Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell.
Looks like a romance movie. Of course, it the meet cute features grandmas, so people are gonna be like, wow, what an interesting concept. Real life meet cute, because grandmas want grandchildren to be happy.
I don't know. Why don't they make romance movies about grandmas meeting a young stud and getting railed out?
And then she dies, and then he gets all of her, you know, Social Security money.
Yeah, it's like the inverse of the Anna Nicole Smith story.
Yeah. Do that. Fucking find some guy who will commit to the thing is like, I don't feel like there's any way, actually, I don't feel like there's any way you can do that seriously, because I don't know. I just feel like it's something that's like very difficult to do seriously. And the closest I've ever seen to it was the movie Don John, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I was gonna say Don John.
Yeah,
the movie is very good.
The movie's very good, and nobody talks about it, and that makes me upset.
Everybody, you need to go watch Don John.
Where is Don John streaming anywhere?
It's got the third rock from the sun kid. Not the one that squints, the other one.
You can rent it for $3 from any of the digital rental services. 6.5 out of 10. What the fuck?
I don't know. It also has ScarJo.
Also has ScarJo. My big reason for wanting to watch it. She does this awful, awful New Jersey accent.
Yeah. And just plays an awful, intolerable human being.
That's also true. So, yeah, other than the grandmas getting involved, it's a regular romance movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were two trailers that were of mild interest this week, and these were them. One of them is going to get viewed a lot. The other is not.
Oh, well, I guess that'll slide us on over into quick hits.
Fuck you, Cody, you fucking nerd!
Dan, what'd you watch this week?
Okay, so I was talking about licensing a little bit, and I didn't put this on the list, but I've only watched a couple episodes. There's that Batman, the Batman series. This was post... Oh, God, what's his name? Tim something. Tim... Oh, fuck me.
Burton?
No, not Tim Burton. The one who was, like, the main character designer for the Batman animated series, and then eventually, like, Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Whatever his name is. Tim something. But after that universe wrapped up, DC came out with this The Batman version that we play on Kids WB. And I was very resistant to it as a kid, because I was like, but I want my Kevin Conroy and my Mark Hamill and my everybody just back. Just give me my old universe back. I like those guys. Just give me them. And I never really gave this show a chance. So I'm like 2.5 episodes in right now. It's okay. It's an okay start, but I'm probably going to continue to watch it just because I want to actually give it like a fair shake, as opposed to my thoughts as when I was a kid.
I gotcha.
And then the other thing I watched was Blood and Gold. This is the Nazi killing movie from the director of Blood Red Sky, which I fucking hate Blood Red Sky. So why did I watch the movie, the follow-up, basically, to that movie? I just did. It's okay. This movie's actually, like, decent. It's, like, 15 minutes shorter than Blood Red Sky was, and probably could have been 15 minutes longer, too. Nazis get shot a lot. They get cleaved a lot. They get, they have the farming fork, you know what I'm talking about, and I don't know what the fuck it's called, but it's like it's the farming fork, pitchfork,
pitchfork.
That's it. Yeah. Farming fork. What kind of fucking moron? Yeah, so, some guy,
you know, farm
some
fork. You get it.
If I say farm fork, everyone knows what I'm talking about. Okay, but like, some Nazi gets a pitchfork run through him, so like Nazis die in this. But also, like, there's awful people who are trying to profiteer off the war and the eradication of the Jewish people in Germany while not actively participating in the war. So it's interesting. It's bloody. It's very Tarantino. And I know I said that when I watched the trailer, and that has been so forefront in the movie that even in the description of the movie on Netflix, it says Tarantino-esque. And it's like, man, when you compare yourself to Tarantino, that leads to bad things. But if other people compare it to Tarantino, you know, that's less awful. But even still, it's a solid movie, solid fun time. Not as funny as it should have been, considering it's about killing Nazis. But hey, I enjoyed myself. What did you watch?
Well, funny you should ask. I'm supposed to be doing a guest spot on Culture Shocked to talk about Dune, just like the concept of it, I guess. If Corey will ever fucking quit rescheduling on me, you bastard. I'm not mad. But since it's on Netflix, I watched the fucking 1984 David Lynch Dune movie.
Yeah.
And it is at least as insane as what I thought it would be. So like I love the official like movie box cover that's on IMDb, because it's one of the ones that like only could exist in the 80s, where it's like a matte painting of some shit that's in it, but like not quite. And then it has just like a wall of text on the front of it. You know, it's great. But the movie itself is a fever dream. Like it begins with the Princess Irulan, who is a character in Dune, doing narration and speaking directly into the camera while like being in a backdrop of outer space.
Oh,
and she's like setting up the plot of the movie, and then she like fades out, and then she fades back in, and she's like, "Oh, I almost forgot to tell you that, you know, our economy is totally dependent on the spice, and the spice only comes from Arrakis." Arrakis, which is the planet that the Harkonnens have been in control of, and is also called Dune, which is the name of the movie. And like, it gets wilder from there. I don't know, like the set design, like all the choices visually are crazy, but like totally stuff that David Lynch would do.
Yes.
So like, in Dune, like it is like a spacefaring thing where like basically what the spice is like a narcotic that gives you like limited precognitive ability. So like the spacing, like navigators will use the spice to like plot a course through the stars to like, cause they move faster than light. So it's like, you know, we use this to predict which path is going to not like land us in the heart of a star or whatever the fuck and just kill us.
Right.
But like prolonged exposure to the spice has like, you know, physical effects. Like you start to mutate in extreme cases. So like David Lynch is like, "Oh, cool. We'll show like one of these, you know, space navigators." And it's like they fucking wheel in this giant aquarium, and like it's supposed to be, you know, a mutated human, but it's like the closest thing I think that I could compare it to, which is like a niche thing that I don't know if anybody will understand, but like, right, if you ever played the BioShock 2 DLC Minerva's Den, like one character is just like a big fish man in a tank, because he's like mutated himself so much that like he just couldn't be a human.
Right.
It's kind of like that. It's like this big blobby thing with like, it talks and it has like a weird like vagina beak thing for a mouth that it's like flapping at you while it talks. It's just, it's the most bonkers fucking thing. I don't know. The actual sandworms look pretty cool. Cause like, I don't know, instead of, like in the new Dune movie, and I think that it's the same way they describe it in the books, at least how I pictured it kind of like in my mind's eye, but like, it just has like a circle mouth ringed with teeth, like a lamprey. But in this, they have like three mouth parts that move apart, like a graboid.
Right.
So I don't know. It's neat. Fucking Patrick Stewart is in it. He plays Gurney Halleck, who is like the arms master for House Atreides. Which like in this, I guess like House Atreides has like, they keep pugs as like first, I don't know why they made the choice that they just have pugs that, cause like, that's like their mascot or whatever. It's like whenever they get land on Arrakis and they're coming off the ship, like, Duke Leto's just carrying a pug down the ramp of the ship, and it's like, oh, that pug's not going to do well in the desert. But then, like, whenever they get invaded and, like, they have to go into battle, Patrick Stewart's there, and he's, like, holding his sword in one hand, and he's holding a pug in the other hand, and he's like, Atreides! And they all charge into battle as he's just carrying this dog. And I was like, oh, no. This poor dog's short life.
I want to watch this movie. I saw it and I was like, oh, the only version of Dune I'll ever watch. Let's go. Give me this.
Yeah. It would make me both very happy and a bit sad if this was the only version of Dune you ever watched. Cause like it's the exact kind of thing that we would like. Cause it's just totally fucking insane. And like, I guess whenever David Lynch made it, or like started to make it, he had never read Dune, so he had like vague ideas about like what it was. But it's also like the best idea that like in the new Dune movie, like the best idea they had was to split it into two movies so they could actually like take their time with shit, whereas this is shorter than part one of the new Dune movie and adapts the entire book. So it's just going at like a breakneck pace. And it's just like, what the fuck is this? Who is that? What the fuck are you talking about? What's a Kwisatz Haderach? It's great.
Well, cool. I look forward to watching it this week.
Yeah. The bad guy is a big fat guy in like a suit that makes him fly around with his farts.
I was hoping you were going to say he was a fat guy in a little coat.
Also, Sting is in it. He plays a evil, crazy man who's high on cocaine the entire time.
So Sting.
Yeah, Sting. He's does tantric yoga.
Well, cool. Anything else?
Nah, that's about it. Yeah, haven't been watching a ton because I've been trying to get the internet to work so that I can open the Netflix client.
And pay $8.
Yeah.
Well, cool. We're going to unplug the podcast and then plug it back in. And when we come back from that reset, it'll be time to talk about our main review topic for the week, which is FUBAR, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Stick around. I'll be back.
The Netflix and Swill podcast is brought to you by our wonderful patrons. Gerald Morris, Bill Sutton, Ashley the Bubby Gorski, Ben Kiefer, Paul Prezula, the Mike Rula, Daniel Henderson, Julio Oliveira, Jimmy De La Rosa, Chris Yaney, Nate Wade, Alan Gallarisi, Casey Moore, Jason the Nerdervert, Sam the Hurley Boy Hurley, Nick Haskins, David Powell, and my mom. If you'd like to join that illustrious list of patrons, visit patreon.com/Netflix and Swill. Or, if you'd like to support us without spending any money, you can share our podcast on social media, tell a friend, or review the podcast on any podcatcher. it'd be greatly appreciated. Now, back to your regularly scheduled banter. Welcome back, everybody. Caleb, it's time to get our main event topic for the week, which is FUBAR.
FUBAR's new action-adventure thriller series on Netflix. It's a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. A CIA operative on the edge of retirement discovers a family secret and is called back into the field for one last job.
It's good. I don't know why I didn't expect it, but that's good. So I kind of talked about it a little bit last week, my thoughts. What did you think of the show?
It's stupid and fun. I liked it for what it is. I expected nothing. I got a bit more than that.
Sure.
So good return on investment.
You like good ROI?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's all extremely implausible. You know, everybody's larger than life. They're a CIA, like, spec ops, spy, counterintelligence, wet work team.
Yep.
And, like, they're all the most unprofessional motherfuckers ever who make, yep, like, nonstop dick and fart jokes and, like, are real shitty to their boss.
Yep.
Who constantly threatens them and then does nothing and just enables them. And it's also a family drama because, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger and his daughter have to work together when they find out that they're both CIA operatives and it's tearing both of their lives apart.
That is correct.
Yeah. Also, Fortune Feimster is there and she is mad and
also incredibly unfunny.
Yeah, you have to be into her sense of humor. It's not for everybody. Like, I sometimes find her funny. I think my wife and sister-in-law think she's pretty funny, I guess. Because, like, my sister-in-law walked in when we were watching it, and she's like, oh, I love her. It's like, she's kind of hit and miss with me, but, like, she does do the bravest thing I've ever seen another human do. Which is that she smacks Arnold Schwarzenegger in the balls and then walks away with her limbs intact.
Yeah, that's true. Because he can bench press a Scion TC.
Chiron TC.
There's nobody alive on planet Earth who still remembers that joke.
As soon as you said bench press, I was about to say Scion TC, and then you did it. We're the only people that remember that joke.
The only people. Nobody else knows it.
Yeah, it was a show on Adult Swim. The one guy wanted to get a free Scion TC, so he made an episode where every character said Scion TC to try to get Scion to send him a free car.
Oh my god. It was like that bit in fucking Rick and Morty where Rick talks about, like,
I got all the Legend of Zelda 3DSs. Yeah. We can each sell one for a profit and we each get to keep one. We could play Nintendo games. Nintendo, send me free stuff.
It was very much like that. I think that part very much inspired Justin Roiland to write that little bit. But yeah, for my part on FUBAR, I think the overall problem with the show is that for three episodes, Arnold and his daughter are just mad at each other. And I understand that it has to set up the drama for the show and that we have to have tension in the group somehow. But, like, my God, was I over it after, like, the halfway through the second episode where it's revealed that she's also a CIA operative and they both find out they're CIA operatives together and blah, blah, blah. I just needed them to get over their shit and act a little bit more like adults so that way I wasn't annoyed to death by their back and forth banter shit.
I was a little bit let down with what the premise of the show ended up being because, like, after the first episode, I was hoping that it would be like they would take down the bad guy, and then it would just be like a series of operations, like Monster of the Week style.
Sure.
But that wasn't it. Like, they're after the same like bad guy and cartel group the whole time, which is fine. It's just kind of, you know, I was hoping for something else. But then but then it gets very deep into like family shit, because like Arnold's trying to win his ex-wife back, and like his daughter is trying to figure out her shit, because she's like dating the nicest but blandest guy on the planet, and like trying to make that work when she can't really commit to a relationship because of her job.
Yep. I mean, it is just Jay Baruchel, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger has like another kid who has a daughter who's got leukemia, so she needs a bone marrow transplant. So like the guy who is her biological father, who like never, who's like just a shit heel and doesn't want to be involved in her life, doesn't want to donate unless they pay him money to do it, and then he just like doesn't show up to do it anyway. So since they're like CIA fucking murderers, they just like fucking kidnap the guy and like steal his bone marrow using a fucking like guy who loved waterboarding people at Guantanamo so much that he just like freelance tortures people, which is the most insane thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, fucking Tom Arnold's back with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it made me so happy. I don't want to get like too deep in the show, but like it's entirely about like family drama and like absentee fatherism, and like, because that's also like the main villain. The main villain is a kid that Arnold has known basically like his entire CIA career, and he murdered his father when he was young, and then basically like put him through school because he felt bad, and like tried to make him a better person because he felt bad. And now all that's coming home to roost, because it's like, well, you did all that stuff, but you weren't actually there, so he didn't really have a father figure either. So then he just went on to go murder like countless people.
Mm-hmm.
And that mirrors his daughter's relationship, where, you know, he wasn't around her very much, and so her way of getting around that was becoming a CIA operative and then murdering like countless people because she's in the CIA.
Yeah. I don't know. Given this show's premise, like, it's not entirely impossible that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the one who killed JFK in this universe's canon.
It's true. He is Austrian, so I'm sure he had no real allegiance to voting for that man.
Yep. And the CIA did murder JFK.
Were those documents officially released?
I'm sure not. And also, just in case the government's listening, this is a joke. I'm telling jokes for a joke show.
This is a joke. This is a joke for collectors.
Although, remember the time that the King family did, in fact, sue the FBI, and the FBI had to pay reparations for their part in the murder of Martin Luther King Jr.?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Wendigoon videos on YouTube, but he has like a whole breakdown of like how the FBI and the mafia, because like the government, while like proclaiming to be anti-mafia at the time, would like use the mafia as murder for hire, because it turns out you can just pay them to do wet work.
Right.
So like the King family actually sued the FBI and won on the premise that like they had him assassinated.
Well, shit. I don't want to get too much more into the show because, you know, still relatively new. People are still coming to it. I feel like the show will likely be renewed for a second season. I think it's kind of up in the air, but based off of information that I've heard, season two is going to happen. It's just we don't know when. Although To Doom Brazil is in 2 weeks. So that seems like a good time to announce a renewal for a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anything else you want to say about FUBAR?
It's fine.
Yeah, I agree. It's fine. It got better as it went along. But like, you have to kind of power through the first three episodes if the family trauma dumping aspect doesn't reel you in. Because like, if we weren't going to watch it for the show, I might have stopped after two episodes because I couldn't take it anymore. All right. That'll move us into our next segment, which is a patron requested review for the movie Easy A.
Well, fine, if you don't want my money. You mean, if we watch terrible movies, you'd give us money? Well, sure. Mr. Caleb, welcome to the patron review segment.
All right, Easy A is a 2010 PG-13 movie. It's a comedy, drama, romance. 7.0 out of 10 on IMDb. A clean-cut high school student relies on the school's rumor mill to advance her social and financial standing. This has Emma Stone and Amanda Bynes. And this was from the time when, like, Emma Stone was, like, just starting out, and she was, like, I guess kind of the nerdy girl. Like, she was, like, the nerd heartthrob for, like, a minute, I guess.
Yeah, because it was this, Zombieland, and, House Bunny were like the big three, and I guess also Superbad were like the big four movies that I'd seen her in, or like seen like that she was a part of, and been like, oh, that woman's incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Easy A?
I did not get to watch it because I was trying to get internet.
That's fair. Okay, Ashley, this is your thing. I love you, and you said how much you love this movie. I don't hate this movie. I just think it's fine. It does have its charming bits, like Penn Badgley before he became a serial killer. He's like the best a man can be in a high school movie featuring a girl who essentially is lying about herself being a slut in order to help men in their social standing, which is a very weird and convoluted thing that she feels like she has to do for some reason, because
yeah.
I guess her motivation is that she's a good person.
It's like the opposite of slut shaming. It's slut pride.
Yeah. But like, it eventually wears on her because like everyone just thinks she's the worst kind of fucking person. Like, this is a very prudish community. And it eventually gets so bad that some dude is cheating on his very religious girlfriend, who's played by Amanda Bynes. It's actually the kid from Never Back Down. The enemy from Never Back Down contracts chlamydia from an affair with somebody. And
oh, goodness.
He's like, oh, I didn't get it. I got it from Emma Stone because she's a whore. And that, like, her life begins to completely unravel after that, because now people are like, oh, this girl has fucking STDs, even though she's never had sex before.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wouldn't an STD check, like, test just immediately disprove anything this man said? Why don't you just get an STD test?
Yeah, and then print the results on a t-shirt and wear it around school.
Exactly. But no one cared. No one thought enough ahead about that, so... yeah, it's a cute movie. Like, it's fine. It's a solid, like, lead vehicle for Emma Stone. Like, she's in every fucking scene, and she's just doing her Emma Stone thing. She actually does an Anna Faris impression at one point, basically. Like, it's not like an actual Anna Faris impression, but it's just like, oh, this is exactly how that woman sounds when she speaks. Mm-hmm. So, and it was funny because I was like, I'm pretty sure the House Bunny was before this. So she just basically stole it from that. So Easy A is fine. If you like it, cool. I think it's fine. I like enough of it enough of it's cute, but it's just, you know.
How's Amanda Bynes in it? Because she was a person who had a career for a while and then went away.
She did. She was also in Hairspray, if you remember. When we watched that, we enjoyed
She's
that.
She's the man. What a Girl Wants.
And then this was actually her last movie.
And that's true.
She's okay. She plays the religious girl that is like very anti anything. And I read the director actually regrets making her religious because it felt like it was too cheap of a shot at religious people. Like, he felt like the script could have been a lot better if she just was like holier than thou without being religious in any way, shape, or form.
Mm.
But yeah, she's fine. Like, she might be coked out. I don't know. But she was doing okay. And what I think Ashley was like, this is prime Amanda Bynes. And I'm like, maybe an attractiveness, but like prime Amanda Bynes was like before she was 18 on Nickelodeon doing like Amanda Show and all that.
So her IMDb trivia, that's not how those words are. Her IMDb trivia for Amanda Bynes says that in June 2010, she announced via Twitter her retirement from acting. She retracted said announcement in August of that same year, although she hasn't yet made a comeback. In December of 2013, she enrolled at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in Irvine for 2014. In 2018, she received her Associates of Art degree. It took her 4 years to get the Associates degree. Interesting. Not their own shade, just, I don't know. In product merchandise development, and announced her intentions to start a bachelor's degree program, which she apparently graduated with in 2019. So I guess she just had like, okay, so like she had most of the credits. She just got the associates because she,
right?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. That might have to do with her retirement from, or her abstaining from acting, because she was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 2013, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, that girl has been through it.
Man. That's fucking rough. I don't know, because she was on All That when she was 10. She was born in 1986, apparently.
She was born what?
She was born in 1986.
Oh, 1986. I thought you said 1996. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
No, she got her acting debut in 1996 on All That.
Yeah. And then she did the Amanda Show and then kind of disappeared from Nickelodeon.
And now you know everything that I know about Amanda Bynes.
Bring in the dancing lobsters. What a fucking stupid show. Yeah, that's all I have to say about Easy A. Go watch it if you want to. I think it's fine. It's a perfectly good way to spend 90 minutes.
Yeah. Why not? All right, well, what are we doing next week, Dan?
Next week on the show, we have Never Have I Ever Season 4. It's finally happening. The show is here. It's ending.
This is the last season, right?
This is the last season.
We finally get to figure out if Davey and Paxton are endgame.
I know, right? Or like, because it's the end of high school, so I wonder if it's going to be another one of those things where it's like, there's no real ending to anybody. You know, everyone just kind of goes off, like, reset into a new world.
That's kind of how I feel like it's going to happen. Champagne.
And then on the back of that, we'll be watching the movie Vanquish, which comes from Casey Moore of What's on Netflix. When this came out, or whenever the patron thread went up, he was like, oh, I have a movie for you. It's called Vanquish. And it stars Ruby Rose. And I just went, I fucking despise you as a human. Ruby Rose, Morgan Freeman, and Patrick Muldoon. A woman trying to put her criminal past behind her gets blackmailed into taking on a dangerous mission by a corrupt ex-cop when he kidnaps her daughter. My God, just a million things. And it also has TikTok superstar Hannah Stocking. Boy, there's no way this can be any good. There's just not.
I guess this is a good way to end the show, because I'm just like idly browsing Reddit as we wrap up. And somebody made an Ask Reddit post that said, if your penis made a noise every time it got hard, what would you want the noise to be? So I'm going to run through some of the top responses here. So slide whistle, that's fun. It could go and then the lightsaber ignition. That's pretty good. The one that I really like is the M1 Garand ping. The M1 Garand makes a very distinctive sound whenever you fire it. It's like ping. If you ever played like Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
So, I don't know. What would you have your penis do?
Oh, God. It would... As a callback to what we to when we fucked around a lot in college, it would be the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger ringer that is on their morphers, just so somebody in a dining hall can say, "Can you shut your phones up?"
I don't know. I've consumed too much Netflix. Mine would probably go doo-dum.
Yeah. And then, of course, we would all just like start feverishly jacking off in order to set off the Zordon communicator cones and just be like, what do you need, Zordon?
Yeah, your dick does that and you're like, it's boning time.
Fuck. So, yes, everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast. You can find us at NetflixSwill.com. It's your one-stop shop for all things Netflix and Swill. Also, check out 2Ps. Gerald says he's going to be posting episodes again soon. We'll see if that's the case, because I know he hasn't recorded with anybody recently, because people are the worst.
Yeah. I haven't seen any in a long time, but also I haven't been invited to be on any in a long time, so he knows where to get a hold of me.
That's true. He does.
And, you know, now I have, I think, consistent internet.
Consistently shit.
Yeah. NetflixandSwill.com. Social medias, if Netflix hasn't had us blacklisted everywhere yet.
No, it's just my social media at this point. It's just Dan of Action. They can't blacklist that because I've had Dan of Action on everything since, like, 2007.
Yeah. Are you sure you're not an impostering, impersonating Dan of Action?
Sometimes.
Watch, Netflix is going to come out with a movie called Dan of Action, and they're going to have your fucking personal social media taken down.
If they do that, you know it's on fucking site at that point.
Yeah. It's on site.
I'm fucking the first person I see with Netflix. I'm just throwing hands.
Yeah. Repent, motherfucker. goddamn. All right. I'm done shit posting. Until next week, this is Caleb saying we'll see you next Tuesday. Netflix and Swill is an independent podcast. As such, we believe in the scrappy underdogs of the podcast world. If you're an indie podcast and would like us to run your promo on our show, please contact us. The little guys need to stick together. If you enjoy what we're doing, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and telling a friend. The more we grow, the better the show will be. Thank you for being part of the Netflix and Swill family.